and good morning to you. Is it Ms.? Okay. Ms. Colhane, good morning to you. You may approach. And I've got a little message I'm going to read to you, to both parties. We are aware that a suggestion of death regarding appellant Marcia G. Abbott and a motion to remand appeal number S-15-0967 with directions to vacate and dismiss has been filed in this consolidated case. We will allow opposing parties 10 days following oral argument to respond to this filing. Briefs are not to exceed 15 pages. We will send you a copy of what I've just read to you, but 10 days following oral argument to respond, briefs not to exceed 15 pages. With that, you may proceed. Thank you.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court. My name is Elizabeth Colhane, Fraser Stryker. I'm here on behalf of Appellant Mark Abbott, the designated successor trustee. I'm going to ask you to do four things today. As mentioned, I'm going to ask you to remand the conservatorship case with directions to vacate and dismiss. I'm going to ask you to make a finding that the appellees did not have standing to bring the claims they did in the trust case. I'm going to ask you to vacate the county court's order requiring the Mrs. Abbott's trust to pay certain attorney fees for the appellees. And I'm going to ask you to dismiss the appellees' cross appeal. I'll give you a little bit of background, and then I'll touch briefly on those issues. Mrs. Marcia Abbott was a teacher in Omaha Public Schools for over 30 years. Mrs. Abbott and her husband, George, had three children. My client, Mark Abbott, and the appellees, Cynthia Sellin and Russell Abbott. In 1995, Mrs. Abbott and her husband sat down at the Panhauser estate, but they were going to be going down the road. They made a decision. They put some of their money into a trust and chose their son, Mark Abbott, my client, to be the successor trustee in the event either of them passed away or did not wish to serve. They also chose my client, Mark Abbott, as their alternate power of attorney after each other. George Abbott later passed away. Mrs. Abbott remarried, went on to live a great life for many years. In 2011, she had a stroke. After her stroke, she was diagnosed with what's called an expressive aphasia. The best way I can describe that to you is that the motor is running, but the wheels don't turn. She has trouble getting the words out of her mouth. The undisputed medical evidence in the file was that she remained competent to make decisions about her affairs, select someone to assist her in her affairs, and participate in that kind of decision.
But the evidence also showed that because of the aphasia, her communication of the decision would not be reliable, correct?
Your Honor, I mean, the doctors both spoke about the fact that she sometimes had trouble getting the words out, but there was no question that she could make decisions, and that when she worked with somebody who knew her, such as her son Mark Abbott, the acting power of attorney, that there was no issue in getting those communications across. That would be my reading of the trial test.
Thank you.
After her stroke, the appellees filed two lawsuits here today seeking to appoint a conservator for their mother and to remove brother Mark Abbott as the trustee of the trust. After Mrs. Abbott's stroke, Mark had begun assisting his mom under the power of attorney. We had a trial, and the following facts are undisputed from the trial. Mrs. Abbott, the surviving settlor at the time of the trial, came in and testified that she wanted Mark as her trustee. She approved everything that he had done, and she didn't want a conservator. Two doctors came in and testified. Mrs. Abbott remains competent to make decisions about her affairs, pick someone to help her in managing any affairs that she needs. A forensic accountant hired by the appellees poured over thousands of pages of bank documents, all kinds of financial documents. He couldn't find a dime missing from the trust. The county court made a factual finding that Mark Abbott did not misuse any funds during the time period he was assisting his mother.
So let me ask you this. After he was appointed as the trustee, what changes were made in the trust?
He didn't actually become the trustee until March of 2015, so about 6 months before the trial, his mom formally resigned. She was the acting trustee, and at that point he became the successor trustee. Prior to that, he was assisting his father pursuing the power of attorney, language of the trust document that allows the settlor to appoint.
Did Mark do anything in his power of of attorney to dissipate any of her assets and benefit himself?
No, Your Honor. The county court made a specific factual finding that there was nothing like that that was done. He was, the trust and what the money was being used for during that time period was really to pay for Mrs. Adams' health care. The amount of her expenses increased drastically after her stroke. And actually, what the end of the trial is that her expenses went from several hundred dollars a month to $8,000 a month after 2011. And between 2011, when Mark started helping his mom, and we went to trial in 2015, trust assets grew by over $500,000. $500,000 in that time period.
What was Mark's role with the two Wells Fargo accounts in 2011 forward?
Sure.
Something about being, she resigned as trustee to those accounts and became trustee. Is that possible? Can you resign from trustee of one account but still be trustee of the trust?
Well, that's a good question, Your Honor. It's my understanding that essentially what happened is due to the restrictions at the Wells Fargo Bank where those accounts were held, or the Wells Fargo advisors, that they needed someone, whoever they were going to be talking to on the phone on a regular basis because the advisor was out of town, that they needed that person designated as trustee. And for that purpose, she did resign. However, the trust documents specifically provide that she can appoint an agent to carry out certain activities on her behalf.
So he really isn't the trustee at that point. He's the agent of the trustee.
I mean, I think that could be, yeah.
Because if you resign as trustee, you resign from the whole trust. You don't resign from an account.
And that would be our position, Your Honor, is that he didn't become trustee until March 2015.
Okay, but he signed lots of documents as trustee, didn't he?
Well, as the agent of the trustee, I mean, as I said, Mrs. Abbott came in and testified at trial that she approved of everything he had done, and that they discussed it in advance. She approved of everything that he had done. And she did ask him to help on the Wells Fargo accounts, and for that reason, he was signing things as the trustee on those accounts, and there was a letter that went to Wells Fargo that effect.
Part of the argument is that he wasn't the trustee from 2011 until 2015, so he can't be held accountable for any misdeeds or failure to report or failure to provide documentation. But in essence, he was, in 2011, acting as a trustee at that point.
Well, Your Honor, I think he was acting as agent of the trustee. I do think the trust, I mean, there is language in the trust providing that a successor trustee cannot be held liable for something that another trustee failed to do. So to the extent Mrs. Abbott was still the trustee for terms of reporting and things like that, I don't think that Mark Abbott, my client, could be held responsible.
So her resignation as to those two accounts was merely, it really wasn't effective. It was merely an assignment of her responsibilities to her agent, is that?
I mean, I think in the capacity that he was acting as her agent, he was her acting power of attorney. She requested that he take certain actions on her behalf pursuant to the language of the trust that allows for that.
Thank you.
So what is our standard of review here?
Well, Your Honor, in the conservatorship case, the standard of review would be for clear error on the record. In the trust case, it's actually reviewed de novo whether it was appropriate to remove the trustee. And so in the conservatorship case, I'll just touch on it briefly. As you mentioned, Mrs. Abbott unfortunately passed away a week and a half ago. We filed a suggestion of death and a motion earlier this week asking the court to vacate its order. The basis for that is this court's decision in Inouye Frankie. Frankie makes clear that an appeal from a conservatorship case becomes mooted by the death of the person whom the conservatorship is sought. However, in this case, death also abates the underlying action. And that's because the judge did not actually appoint Mark Abbott as conservator. She said that Mark Abbott shall be appointed as conservator upon the issuance of letters, acceptance, and various documents. None of that was ever filed. We took this appeal. As a result, nobody was ever appointed as conservator. Nobody's ever served as conservator. And there's nothing for this court to review. There's also nothing left to be done below. The case should be sent back with directions to vacate that order and dismiss the case because it's a non-final order with nothing left. And if the court has no further questions, I'm going to reserve the balance of my time.
You didn't address the standing issue. Could you briefly do that?
Absolutely.
And to help you a little bit, I'm going to refer to the Trust Code, Section 30-3803 sub 3, appears to define beneficiary very broadly to include someone who has a present or future beneficial interest in a trust, whether vested or contingent. Given that definition, how do you maintain that the appellees are not beneficiaries?
Thank you. Well, under 303855A, I think there's no dispute that as to the portion of the trust that was revocable when Mrs. Abbott was still alive, they don't have standing. And in fact, they didn't even dispute that in a brief. That statute says that during the portion of time that any trust is revocable, all of the dues are owed to the settlor. Appellees didn't dispute that in the brief. There is another part of that section that talks about even when trusts are irrevocable, during the period of time that somebody's interest can be terminated, whether by a power of appointment, then the beneficiaries whose interests are subject to termination also are not owed fiduciary duties. Again, the settlor is in the same position as the settlor of a revocable trust. In this case, Mrs. Abbott held a power of appointment over the family trust, and I would also say that...
Wasn't it just a limited power of appointment?
With regard to the
family trust.
Family trust, she could, but she could appoint it to any of their descendants in equal or unequal shares.
But it was a 5% or...
Oh, no, Your Honor, I'm sorry. The 5-5 pertained to her ability to withdraw, her personal ability to withdraw from the holder of her lifetime. She did retain the right to appoint the entire asset.
Okay.
And with that, I reserve a second to rebuttal. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you very much. Mr. Lingelbach, good morning to you.
Good morning. And please the court, I'm John Lingelbach, and I represent the appellees, cross-appellants, Cynthia Sellen and Russ Abbott. They filed a petition in the county court for Douglas County, Nebraska, to remove their brother Mark as trustee on the trust. Let me address the standing issue. It's clear from the language of the trust that they do have standing, that they are not only current beneficiaries, but future. If you look at page 7 of my brief, I set forth the language that gives them a present interest, and it reads, at any time or times during the term of the trust, our trustees shall pay to or apply for the benefit of the surviving trustor and our joint descendants so much of the principal of the family trust as our trustee in its discretion deems proper for their health, maintenance, support and education. Now, I think this court
does that give the trustee discretion to not?
It seems to me that the trustee has discretion to determine the amount, which could be zero. But if the beneficiary, under a reasonable standard, needs maintenance, health, support, education, there's an obligation to pay. I agree that the amount is discretionary, but the duty to support is absolute because it says the trustee shall pay so much as in their discretion they determine.
What happens upon the death of the settlor of the trust? What's the future ramifications of her death?
It's my understanding that it's distributed to the beneficiaries, which would include the descendants.
So what are you trying to obtain here? Do you want a distribution of your share of the trust?
Well, Marsh Abbott just died a week and a half ago.
I know, but what are you trying to accomplish now?
The removal of Mark Abbott and a corporate fiduciary, as Judge Barrett ordered, be appointed as trustee for the trust.
Because why?
Because of the reasons that we set forth, there's a substantial amount of personal animus that Mark Abbott has exhibited against his two siblings.
What duties has he violated as trustee since his appointment?
Duty of impartiality, duty of acting in good faith and managing the trust assets. He threatened one of the beneficiaries that if they didn't return gold coins that they thought that Russ Abbott had stolen, they were going to get no trust assets. So he's threatened them.
When did those occur, those events?
I'd have to look back into the record.
Before or after his appointment by the resignation of Marsha?
Well, I've heard the argument about when the resignation occurs. It seems to me that there's a two-stage resignation. On March 27, 2011, Marsha wrote Wells Fargo. By the way, most of, if not all, the trust assets were in two Wells Fargo accounts. $2 million worth of million, something like that. She wrote Wells Fargo and said, I'm resigning as trustee of the trust. Talk to Mark.
Do we have that on the record?
Yeah, that's. I could find that exhibit for you, but she wrote personally to Wells Fargo and resigned as trustee as concerns those two accounts. Those were pretty much all the assets of the trust. Then, right before trial was originally to be held, I think it was May of 2015, on March of 2015, she files with the county court, here's my resignation for all matters. Well, in fact, she had already resigned because Mark was in charge of the trust. He was signing as trustee well before that date. So, in fact, he was acting as the trust. But the reason we want him removed, there was substantial evidence at trial of his personal animus against these two beneficiaries, accusing one of murder, threatening to... His anger arises from an Aunt Jane, Marcia's sister, who gave Cindy some farm ground and didn't give Mark any. He's been angry about that for years. Russ Abbott testified that that seemed to be the triggering event for his personal animus. And he made numerous threats against these beneficiaries. I think I showed you an email in my brief that he was going to start World War III or drop an A-bomb. Just these absolute bizarre behavior towards the beneficiaries. And I cited the case in my brief where this court held that if there is personal animus between trustee and beneficiaries such that it interferes with the administration of the trust, that's a basis for removal. And with his threat that they will get no trust assets until they remove gold coins that he thought they had stolen.
Well, do these trusts continue beyond the life of the settlor?
Pardon?
Do the trusts continue beyond the life of the settlor?
It does. I think the second settlor, because George was the first in time. But,
no, I mean the dismissal.
There's
Abbott.
A winding up process that the trustee has to go through to distribute the assets. I haven't analyzed that deeply, but our trust lawyer says that there's going to be a distribution to the beneficiaries. Judge Barrett's ordered that this trust be managed by a corporate fiduciary, given that they filed a supersedious bond and put that on.
Has any money been misplaced or misallocated out of the trust?
There is not money missing. We can't show theft. But there are two separate Wells Fargo accounts, one for the family trust and one for the survivor.
You just can't come up with the gold coins.
Pardon?
You just can't come up with the gold coins.
No, the gold coins were returned. And at
By who?
They were returned by Russ Abbott, and there was substantial testimony from Russ Abbott that his mother had for years been selling off gold coins and instructed him to take the coins at issue to a consignment and had them consigned.
Isn't there some contradictory evidence that in his deposition perhaps, or an interrogatory, that wasn't the case?
Well, I don't recall that. I don't recall a contradiction. But Judge Barrett, after hearing all of the witnesses, after reviewing the witnesses' credibility, determined that the gold coins had not been stolen. He did not grant their, I think they had a counterclaim for return of the gold coins or the value. And he found after listening to all the witnesses, including police officers from the Omaha Police Department, including a maintenance man from the apartment, concluded that there was no credibility to this stolen gold coins threat.
Before you shifted to the gold coins, you were talking about the two Wells Fargo accounts.
Yes. Over the years, after Marcia resigned and Mark Abbott became in charge of those accounts, he was flipping assets back and forth between the family trust and the survivor trust. And we had testimony from Sue Spahn, an experienced tax attorney, who said that creates two problems. There are different bases for a family trust and a support trust, and there's going to be a lot of difficulty once we distribute out these assets figuring out what the basis, tax basis is in the family trust. Further, it probably created some gift tax issues that she testified at trial. So one of the things that
that's the disqualifying feature?
Well, that's one of them, in addition to the personal animus that he's exhibited against these beneficiaries and the threats that he's issued, not just personal threats about dropping an A-bomb on him, but also he's going to equalize Aunt Jane's gift to Cynthia using Marcia's assets. And Cynthia testified that he threatened that...
But he's been the trustee for a period of time, and that has not happened.
Not that we know of. But quite frankly, she has assets outside the trust. and were not provided with any information about what... They weren't even advised that she died. The funeral home called my clients to tell them she died. So there's no communication from Mark Abbott with regards to his mother's situation, and there hasn't been. There was none with regards to the trust.
Assets outside the trust couldn't be accounted to or accounted for by the trustee. That you'd have to have a personal representative appointed
to
do
those things.
So you've got things down the road you've got to do.
That's exactly right. In our cross appeal, we asked that the court reconsider the award of attorney's fees. My client substantially prevailed in the trust action, got him removed. The court found numerous breaches of his duties under the trust code. We incurred about $139,000 in attorney's fees, 3-day trial, lots of discovery, 2 years of litigation, and the court awarded $44,000, which in my view is an abuse of discretion given the costs that are incurred.
That was paid by the trust or ordered to be paid by the trust?
Those were paid by my clients.
No, who was ordered to pay the $44,000?
The trust, yes. In addition, the court found that Mark Abbott violated his trust duties and his fiduciary duties. He used trust assets to defend this lawsuit. Now, you can do that if you substantially prevail as the trustee. He did not. We asked Judge Barrett in a motion to force him to return those assets to the trust, and the court did not grant that motion. We think that's an abuse of discretion, given that the court found numerous violations of the trust code by Mark Abbott. So we would ask that his decision be affirmed except for those matters set forth in the trust.
Thank you very much. Do we have time for rebuttal?
She has 9 seconds.
9 seconds, Ms. Culhane.
First of all, Your Honor, in response to your question, there was evidence offered directly contradicting the testimony on the gold coin for a request for admissions from Russell Abbott, in which he said he never had a discussion with his mother about the gold coin. He then testified that he did.
That's pretty much it.
All right. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you very much. That concludes arguments for today. The court is adjourned and you are excused.
One of those school teachers saved quite a bit of attention.